Welcome to Keeping It Real, where we feature entrepreneurs who are passionate about their business and have participated in our guest blog, shareyourstories.online. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Kathy Nesbitt, who is a health and wellness expert. She has done a TED Talk, and she is also wanting us to think about a different form of composting with worms. Hello, Kathy.
Hello, Trish. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, you know, I have to tell you that when I received your story, I thought, now this lady has an awesome opportunity when going to a networking event to really start a new conversation.
Everyone remembers me.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us a little bit about vermicomposting. What is it all about? Because that was something I had never heard of before.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Welcome. So vermicomposting is simply composting with worms, can be done inside, so allows year-round composting and is ideal for anybody that lives in a condo and doesn't have space for outdoor composting. And so you get to manage some of your food scraps, your paper. The worms will turn it into, I call it black gold, it's their castings. Mm-hmm. Their poop. And then you use that as fertilizer. It really closes the loop in our food.
Wow. Yeah. And now where do you get the worms? Like, I had never heard of this before. There must be a special kind of worm.
Thank you. Yes, it's there are thousands of types of worms, only four that have been identified as suitable for worm composting, because you're looking for surface dwellers. So these are red wigglers. Yes.
Wow. And so where does one get the worms for the composting? If I'm interested in doing so and I live in a condo, where would I go about purchasing the worms?
So generally from a supplier such as myself, There's not that many suppliers. And due to increased demand because of the times that we're in, we actually have a very long waiting list.
Wow. And so tell me, do you give folks like... is there a YouTube video that they can watch about how to manage, these little wigglers in their house? Is there, because I can tell you, I would be pretty freaked out to think that there were worms somewhere in my condo or my house. I'd be like, oh my God, what's happening? So is there a video that they can watch that tells them a little bit about how to manage it?
Absolutely. Yes. There's all kinds of information, but really in short, the worms eat half their weight per day in food scraps.
Wow.
So once they're established, they can't see. There's no point in going sightseeing. They don't have eyes. And they eat half their weight. So they really are spending their time converting this material. It really is getting over the ick factor. And I really get it. When I started before starting my worm business, I was afraid of worms. I grew up in Toronto, moved to Bradford in 93, and started gardening and composting. And what I realized was, or what I started to bring home compost from my coworkers. And then a teacher friend in 93 asked me if I could look after her worm bin for the summer. And I was like,
really?
Yeah. Like worms in my house?
Mm-hmm.
Really? But I was like, as an avid gardener, I knew the value of the compost. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. Why not?
Yeah.
And I do believe that we should try things for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Don't let somebody tell you, right?
Yep, absolutely. So tell me, what would be a common thing that, you go to a networking event, you see me, I introduce myself, I ask you what your business is, and, you talk about vermicomposting. What are the kind of reactions that you get from people? Because I also know that you do, laughter yoga. So you clearly have a sense of humor and a wonderful way of sort of making people feel comfortable with being uncomfortable. So tell us a little bit about what some of those responses are like.
Of wide variety. I sort of read the room. I mean, after 18 years, at the beginning, to be honest, Trish, I did go for the shock factor. And then I was like, this doesn't really sell my business.
Right.
This, you know, it's fun and everybody laughs and they'll remember me, but they might never buy from me if I don't let them know why they need what I have.
Right.
And it is really important. It really does close the loop. And I do truly believe that this is why I was put on earth. I mean, I really believe this is my mission and all that stuff, because I was afraid of worms. And then, you know, now it's what I'm doing. It's a whole story. We don't have time here, but I do have a little documentary about my business.
I was just going to ask you, now I know that you had done a TED Talk, and obviously you talked about, you know, many different things in your TED Talk, but tell us what the motivation was behind, because, you know, anyone who's an entrepreneur simply and has any kind of speaking ability is really interested in the TED Talk series, because they're not only very informative, but they're also a way that we can connect with the person behind the business. So tell us a little bit about your motivation for doing the TED Talk.
So really for the platform, I do believe again that, you know, just the numbers. I started my worm business in 2002. Mm-hmm. The Keel Valley landfill closed in 2002, which is where the Greater Toronto Area put their garbage at that time. Yeah. We started shipping garbage to Michigan. Can you imagine? You know, wow. And I just thought, oh my gosh. And I had looked after that worm bin in 93. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of worms. It didn't work out. It was horrible. And I was like, I'm never going to do that again. Mm-hmm. So fun. You never know.
Yeah.
I really believe that was part of my path. Like, our path is never straight. It's never like, oh, I want to do this. Boom, and you do it. No, there's hurdles here and there, and you got to go, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So then here we are, the landfill closed. I was trying to get my message out. I wasn't, you know, I do have a good sense of humor. I do make light of the worms. I do think I'm a good messenger for the worms, because the word worm has a bad connotation.
Yes.
Can of worms is always negative. Mm-hmm. Computer worms, mm-hmm. tapeworms, mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? So, yeah. Right. I forget the question.
About your TED Talk. And so who introduced you to becoming part of the TED Talk series?
Well, that was part of a networking group that I was part of, Grow Your Biz.
Ah.
With Mark Hashi.
Yes.
Do you know of it, right?
Yes, I do. Actually, yes. Mark is my mentor. So, yes, I know him very well.
Look at how small the loop is.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, beautiful. Say hi to Mark for me.
I will.
So beautiful. Yeah. So it was one of the Grow Your Biz members organized a women's TED Talk event in the Annex. And so I applied. And like any TED Talk event, you need to apply, and if you get accepted, they liked my message. And yeah.
So tell me how you prepared for that, because I would assume that, you know, crafting a message and telling a story is really very important, right? And it's especially in a TED Talk environment, you only get really one chance to make a great first impression to your target audience. So how did you go about crafting your story?
So that's a great question. I'm a very spontaneous speaker. I'm very comfortable. I took improv. I just go with the flow, and that's fine when you're leading, you know, when you do workshops and you're leading the room, right, and you've got an hour, mm-hmm. it's fine, right? You can blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. When you have, you're right, 15 minutes. So I was like, okay, I got this. I was sort of freaking out. I was really nervous. I practiced with my husband. You saw him earlier. Mm-hmm. He took Toastmasters. He's a Toastmaster, and so he sat me through the whole thing. We're an amazing team, the two of us. He said, "What do you want to say?" So he said, "Just tell me your story," and then he took notes. And we worked together like really hard. And so I'm quite proud. It still comes across as, you know, I'm an amateur speaker, mm-hmm. But I think it's authentic. That like the message that I share, you know, I think some of the stats that I added in were very powerful about the state of garbage.
Well, and you know, I think that to your point, you know, you mentioned that you feel that this is your life's purpose. And yeah. You've mentioned, you know, way back in 1993, you sort of started on this journey, and who knew that you would end up sort of being a very visual person for the whole idea of organic composting and looking at something a little bit different. So congratulations to you on that, because you actually had to, I would think you had to listen to your inner voice a little bit.
many times I was like, I could just get a job. But you know, Trish, like any entrepreneur, I would say again, have multiple streams.
Yeah.
Have many things that you can offer to people that you believe in. I don't mean just flogging things.
Right.
Things that you services that you really believe in, and products, and everything will just be magic. Really believe, you got to follow your heart, because for sure, you know, I do a lot of speaking at schools, and I say to the kids, or I used to, I don't know what's going to happen.
You'll be doing it like this now.
Yeah, exactly. But I would say to them, you know, how many times have you ever got an idea and you get all excited? You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do that. And then you either start thinking about it, oh, wait a minute, last time, Dad, or you talk to somebody and they go, no, remember last time? Oh, you don't want to look like, you know. And so you go, right, I'll just stay safe. I'll just stay where I am.
Well, you know
what? I say, when we get those fired up, when we get all fired up, that's the universe saying, here's a gift for you.
Yeah.
Do something right now. Like, do something with it right now. Take action. Well, and that's what I do. I never think about stuff. I just do things.
Well, I have to say that, you know, one of the things that we end in the guest blog series is three words of advice. And this is a wonderful segue into your three words of advice. You actually say, it's no for sure unless you ask.
Yes.
So tell us why you chose that, Kathy.
So many times in life, that's been true. I mean, just the saying itself, if you don't ask, you already have a no. Mm-hmm. You've already received a no. And I have a great example. I chose media as my chose media as my marketing strategy. Somebody suggested that I go on CHCH morning TV in Hamilton. I live in Bradford. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to get there for 6 o'clock or something. So I was excited. I was like, yay, imagine Hamilton News, yippee. But it's 6 a.m. So I was thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get this? So somebody said, why don't you ask them if they have a car? I got all in my head and I was like, "What? I'm nobody. Why would they send a car for me now to do? It's no for sure unless you ask. That was my slogan. So I was like, so they call the day before to confirm. We're just confirming your spot for tomorrow. So I said, I got my mustered up my brave voice. And I was like, I wonder, you don't happen to have a car available, do you? Or I said it in a confident way, but still kind of questioning. And she said, oh, let me go check. Oh, what? She came back and she said, yep, they'll be there at 5:30 to pick you up.
Isn't that fantastic? Oh, what a great example. That's a really great example.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's no for sure. Like, whatever you want. And as entrepreneurs, we can't do it all.
Yes.
We have to ask for help. We have to.
Yes. Well, you know what, Kathy? I think that you've provided us with really a wonderful message for a Friday afternoon. And I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And to all of the folks who have joined us, I would like to thank you and hope you've been introduced to the person behind the logo in another edition of Keeping It Real. Thank you very much.